This is the technical difficulties of playing Citation Needed. Joining me today, he reads books, you know, it's Chris Joel.
Hello.
Drinking coffee. I timed that.
Prioritise, really, really prioritise, baby.
Everybody's favourite, Gary Brannan. Gary Brannan.
And so the man says to the lady, I'll have another go, but I don't know if I can fit another bread roll up my ass.
Now, the question is, I know Gary was planning to prep lines for this series.
The bounciest man on the internet, Mike Ray.
Series 5, welcome.
In front of me, I've got an article from Wikipedia, and these folks can't see it. Every fact they get right is a point and a ding, and the special prize for particularly good answers, which is...
Mystery Biscuits!
Today. If you've never watched this before, you're in for a treat.
Every season we get new people. Oh my god, this... We're about to endure, let's face it.
Today we are talking about the hydraulic telegraph.
Holy moly, that's a wet telegram.
I'll give you a point, there's water involved.
Stand. Well, yes, there's f***ing water involved. It's hydraulic. I'm a moron, I know nothing about science. It's all pissing witchcraft, even I know that bit.
And you're still getting a point for it.
Well, I won't moan too much then.
Stand in front of the nozzle to receive your message.
On that point,
Aunt Mildred says hello, but I don't want to tell you what she's been up to.
On that point, yesterday, this is a genuine story. I saw a coach company called Morse Coaches. Right,
that's good.
It was reversing, but I couldn't understand why the beeping noise was just saying S repeatedly.
It was probably just saying E.
The thing is, we all patented your Morse code there in different ways. I'm like, he's like, that's E. I'm like, no, that's T. That's a long one.
Surely could say, vehicle is reversing in Morse, is what I was thinking.
But people wouldn't move out of the way. They'd be too busy trying to read it.
W-A-R-N.
You committed to that hit there.
I did.
It wasn't Morse code. Any version of this.
Flags. Tin flags or something. Metal flags that would pop up to get a message.
You're thinking of the optical telegraph.
I'm thinking of an optical telegraph powered by water, thank you very much.
Ooh, I'm going to give you a point for that.
Fountains.
No, how would you... There are flags and there are water. And this is... First of all, let me clue you in.
When do there are boxes. And there are houses and there are doors.
And orangutans.
There are also oranges.
Today we have the handle on nouns.
There are two
Hello, children.
Of this.
Welcome along. Today we're learning about things. Today we're learning about flags. And there's water.
And shoes. There is... And there are antelope.
Goodbye. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
I don't think we can really explain what Tom is, though, without adjectives, so...
Are you done?
Probably not, but, you know, have another go.
That's the most exasperated look you've ever done.
Are you done, children?
Anyway, is it some kind of coastal system for getting messages out into the water by sending different pressures to pop-up things that would spell out a message?
Yeah, I'll give you the point there. Ah. I'll definitely give you the point.
So it's pop-up pirate, but telegraph.
It sounds like it,
When
yeah.
do you think this was?
19th century. Everything was iron and hydraulic then.
Right.
Ooh, steady.
This is not the version of it we're talking about. There is a 19th century version. Again, I will give you a point, but I'm going to come to that later.
Is this the mid-90s version in Eureka in Halifax?
Oh!
I mean...
Northern reference.
I went
specific
there.
Northern.
We all went as kids to Eureka. It's still there, as far as I know.
It is still.
But I didn't know they had a hydraulic telegraph.
Neither do I. But if they had somebody, they have one.
They had a massive Archimedes screw on the ceiling.
Lucky Archimedes.
We're talking about Archimedes. We're pretty much in the right area.
So Greco-Roman.
Yeah, 4th century BC, Greece.
Point.
I'm trying to imagine a 4th century Greece. I'm just going to put Greece lightning into Latin and I'm failing badly at the minute.
Well, if you can't, none of us have got a house.
Oh, hang on. He studied Latin.
Classical education. It has been more than a decade since I got my GCSE in Latin now.
Can you manage? I've got chills, they're multiplying.
Probably not.
Habeat.
Yes.
Oh. Chilea.
Expandero!
Habeat frigidaris something. It's say you multiplicanus or something like that. Actually, yeah. Multiplicanus est, yeah.
Corrections in the comments for all of you YouTube watchers who know Latin.
So, ancient Greece.
Yes.
There are two signal towers on two hills with two identical tubs of water. Mm-hmm. How do they get them to both show the same message? Because inscriptions on the side of the tub of water, how do they get them to synchronise?
Gentle and well-timed piddling.
Oh, I'm so tempted to give you a point.
Gentle and well-timed horse piddling.
No, they're not putting water in.
Gentle piddling's a village, isn't it?
It's in the Cotswolds. Much piddling on the wall.
They let some out. They let some water out by a tap or something like
that. Yes, a spigot.
Oh, what else?
And did they have a tube from the bottom of one into the bottom of the other so it auto-leveled?
No, that's the British system that comes latest. I'll give you a point, but that's not how they synchronise between two faraway hills.
Men yelling.
Mobile phones.
No, because it can't be something else, because the water is the communication method. Or is that storing the message?
Hang on, we've never actually established that this water is any method of communication. At the minute, we just have two towers that let some water out occasionally.
Yep, and there's things inscribed on little bowls...
Okay.
Where the water comes out. So how do you get both sides to time when they're taking the plug out and putting it back in?
Lights.
4th century BC.
Candles.
I mean, it's a big candle.
Fire, bonfire.
There we go.
Because that's the way they used to communicate anyway.
Big candle, big candle.
Why the water? They lit fires anyway.
Because a bonfire can only send one signal...
I'm on fire.
It can send two signals. I'm not on fire.
That's true. On and off.
Yeah, well, that's how they did it.
Binary.
Unplug, off, put it back in, what's the message? And you both read down your bowls.
Bowl says, I'm on fire.
It must be a big bowl.
They said an earthenware bowl, the depth being some 3 cubits.
Yeah.
Oh yes, absolutely. Have a point. I was going to go and look up cubit definition there, but that's roughly right.
So you got two dancing
cubits.
Those
are my cubits, baby.
Oh god. So yeah, about yay big, and presumably draining quite slowly, so they can synchronize. Please send chips or whatever the Greek equivalent of that is.
Pitta.
Yeah.
Halfway down, one of them just that laughing and crying emoji.
Drama.
Lol.
Smiling poo.
It's halfway between Roffle and Lol. I don't know where we'll stand on this.
Roll.
He's sort of sitting on the floor, rocking back and forth a bit.
It's like anything where you use Lol. You see it reach Lol on the watermark, you look over, he's just sat there doing that.
Slight intake of breath.
You just see... I don't know why I had this ancient Greek man looking at his phone.
Because that's what they use to communicate. I said Lol has fallen out of fashion now, though. It is just emojis now. People don't type lol as much.
The amount of, it's one of those kind of things, isn't it, where people who aren't used to emojis yet keep using that laughing and crying one for actual crying, which changes the tone of a message. Like, I'm sorry to hear your aunt's died, and then have the crying with laughter emoji.
It's like the parents who thought lol meant lots of love.
Yes, that happened. Yeah. Sorry to hear you broke your ankle. Lol.
But that's like MSN Messenger was.
Remember MSN Messenger, everybody?
No, they don't. Some of them are too young for it.
It was like Facebook Messenger, only You would wait all night for your friend to appear, and they may not.
So there was an idea, as I think you said, British 19th century.
Yes.
For two connected tubes.
Tubes.
I don't know why I said it like that, frankly.
Tubes. Frankly.
And the idea was you would put in water or take out water and it would synchronise at the other side. What were some of the problems with that system?
Putting the tube in the first place.
I'll give you a point. It was 200 quid a mile, which in 1838 money is a lot of money compared to just sending a messenger.
It would have had to be made out of copper or something expensive rather than just PVC tube from Wix.
Yeah.
Cast iron was often used for hydraulic tubes because it can take the pressure. What distance are we talking? Are we talking like over a dock or over London? Because London was basically hydraulically powered up until the 1920s.
Oh, that's true.
London had a big hydraulic power system. So if it's over London,
you should explain how that worked.
Well, you just had big accumulators, so big towers that would be used to store the pressure, and it would be used for moving lifts, for goods lift, for cranes. It would be powered off a central hydraulic power system with pipes under London. That's still I think they used as cable runs now under London. So it was a huge London-wide system, especially using the docks, so dock gates and cranes, but then lifts and other things that need powering left and hither and yon, like dumbwaiters in hotels.
So they just have a massive water tank at the centre of the system that created the pressure. Mm. That gets pumped through.
And you can use some pressure if you want it.
Yeah.
For the love of God, will somebody biscuits that man?
That's fair. Thank you for reminding me to biscuit.
First biscuits of the season.
Yes, that was part of the problem. The inventor was Mr. Francis Wishaw.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
A good Victorian inventor's name.
No sooner is motion given to one end...
A readers.
Then it is communicated through the whole 60 yards to the other end of the column.
Duck.
So you might as well wave.
So when I said distance was the problem, you could just yell.
You could just yell. Yeah.
But... when you said hydraulic telegraph, when I was forgetting that hydraulic meant water, but remembered it was tubes of stuff, I was thinking of the
steady. Good mime.
Tell me about your mother.
The blowy tubes they had.
Vacuum tubes.
Yes. Mm.
Sorry, yeah. Sucky tubes.
Pneumatic tubes.
Pneumatic is the right word.
They had a whole system of telegraph through.
Yeah, you just had you had one. You had a tube with air going one way and air going the other, and you put a bit.
Still used
all around London.
Mm. Yeah,
there was atmospheric trains as well. It was a whole that was like Victorian way of powering things. Was
Hyperloop?
I don't know what that is.
Hyperloop is magnetic induction,
but it's inside a vacuum tube.
Inside a vacuum.
This was just a vacuum. It was like a tube carriage with like a shield around it in the middle that would act as a piston, and you would just put them in and.
Sure.
You would basically release air at one end.
Yeah, and you'd be just sucked through in a tube carriage, and then you'd just appear at the other end, hoping no one
would. You would be in a container. You'd be in a train here. It's not people. It's not the thing for Futurama.
Oh. But at the same time, on that, you'd be hoping no one opened a window for a fag, wouldn't you? Like the end of Goldfinger on the Underground. But there were above ground atmospheric trains as well, because you'd have a big pneumatic tube in the middle of the lines, again with a piston underneath that would suck the train along. But the problem was,
I'm just loving all these hand actions.
What you would have is they'd use some kind of coating on the rubber, and it was really attractive to rats, so they ate it and you'd lose the pressure.
Oh, you lose your back pressure,
and probably the rats would at some point get smeared into the wall by a passing
and the rudder tube would get full of imploded kaploded rats.
And they might even lubricate the system
not briefly as they disintegrate.
So the hydraulic telegraph, what were the other problems? We have distance not being particularly good.
Cost.
We have cost, yep. What's the other problem? If you've got water that needs to be kept level between two...
Science.
Water always finds its own level.
Oh, right, okay. So you need two places that are at the same height for it to balance out properly, won't you?
Yes.
You couldn't do it from top of a hill to the bottom of a hill.
No, because otherwise
it would just flow out. Yeah.
What you've invented there is a fountain.
Oh, I was going to say a water slide, actually, personally.
Okay, yeah, water slide communication.
That is the best way to transmit a message.
The British are attacking. What you have to do, Paul Revere, is you have to start on top of this hill, go down the slide once if by land and twice if by sea.
Whoops! Hang on, he's going back up again. He might just have forgot his towel. Have you done? I can't hear him. We'll have to wait now. If he comes down again, we've no idea, have we? He's gone up four times now. He's just been greedy.
His message appears to be wee.
For some reason, I'm just seeing stuff like the D-Day landings with soldiers coming off little slides off the end of boats.
Wee!
Wouldn't that make war so much more jolly?
I mean, there's a lot of ways to make war more jolly. I think,
like not doing it.
Yeah, not killing people would be a start.
Of send in the jesters.
a machine gun that just fires out cereal flags that just say bang.
At the end of the show, then, congratulations, Gary, you win this week. You win an intimate waxing by a legendary 6-time Grammy-winning American composer.
Go on.
It's the Burt Bacharach Backcrackensack. So, congratulations with that. We say thank you to Chris Joel,
bye.
To Gary Grannan, and to Matt Gray.
Goodbye, YouTube.
I've been Tom Scott. We'll see you next time.